you, I live in Anne Arundel County, and I'm oriented, my family and I are kind of oriented toward Annapolis, that's our next big city. So the shooting in Annapolis was very shocking and very upsetting. The shooter apparently went to Arundel High School and graduated between the time my older son Michael graduated and my younger son David graduated. So this struck very close to home as a reminder of the temptations of evil that are around the world and how it can distract a weak or ill mind or to do something just terribly shocking and evil. So to come to church this morning, especially on the day when we're starting our 40 days of prayer. Jess, can you do something with that? Or is that feedback on it? Thanks. Is that on? Thanks. Too much feedback. To come to church on the day when we're starting our 40 days of prayer, and especially when we're coming to the Lord's table, as a reminder of the ultimate triumph of good over evil, of the love and the righteousness of God, is deeply comforting to me. It doesn't make the world go away. It doesn't make the bad things that happen in the world go away. But it reminds you what the greater truth is. So, yes, Pastor Leo, I'm really happy to be in worship this morning. Thank you. There is a one-word sermon about prayer, which is our topic today. Everybody knows what that one-word sermon is. What is it? Pray. Okay, we just stop there. But I think that's the practices of the church to stop after one word. So we can go to two words. And Paul already said the two words. What are the two words? Pray continually, or pray without ceasing, as some of us learned. Prayer is part of the core lifestyle of the Christian. The lifestyle is designed by God to draw us closer into fellowship with Him, as our scripture reading this morning says. What's so great about prayer is not the words we use, and it's certainly not we ourselves, but it's the one to whom we pray. Nor should prayer be considered totally separate from learning more about the Bible, or worship, or serving, or giving, or any of the other things we do in the Christian life. All of these elements of the Christian lifestyle draw us closer to God. Indeed, they are often the way God speaks to us and answers our prayers that we put up to Him. I worked in communications for a while when I was seriously working, and one of the gag gifts that was given to my boss once was an old-style telephone handset, the receiver that had a bump of the one end you spoke into and the bump at the top that you heard through, except they'd sawed it in half, so the listening part was missing, and it was only the talking part that he got. And don't make prayer like that. When we pray, we usually think we're talking to God, but God wants this communication, this fellowship, to be very much a two-way street. As a matter of fact, He wants it to be a many-way street. That's why if you read the scripture today, you'll see that it talks about the fellowship not just of God with the individual, but of God with the individual and the assembled body of believers, the universal body of believers and the body of believers assembled in any one place at any one time. This is the fellowship that God wants with us. Pastor Leo spoke about our new life in Christ. Part of this new life is coming to know God and Jesus better. When we come to Jesus, who do we find? We do not find a God who is distant and disinterested, but a God who longs to fellowship with us. Way back in Genesis 3, we find God coming to walk in the garden, through the garden, and it says, in the cool of the day, and especially when it's 100 degrees outside. I love the thought of that, in the cool of the day. Sometimes I misremember it is in the cool of the evening, because that's sometime when you get a little cool, or maybe really early morning on days like this. It's not going to be cool at all today. But God came in the garden looking for Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, only to find that they had broken fellowship with Him because they'd separated themselves from Him through disobedience. The fellowship that the Apostle John speaks of is a restored fellowship, restored through the saving work of Jesus Christ. It's extended to each of us individually and to the body of believers together. It's a fellowship that God has ordained and sustains and enables solely on his own. When you pray, you form the words from your free will, but it is God who makes the prayer powerful and effective as he hears it. When you pray, you enter directly into this mystical realm of the power and the love and the forgiveness of God. Being in the attitude of prayer means acknowledging and thanking God for that realm in which you can pray. People pray to pagan gods. We see that in Scripture. If you remember the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings 18, where Elijah called, the prophets of Baal call on their gods to send fire down onto their offering. And what happens? Nothing. They say, there was no one there. No one heard. No one answered. Then Elijah calls on his God, the God of the Bible, to send fire on his offering. And down comes the fire. Our God is a God who is there in our prayer, who hears our prayer, and as part of his fellowship with us. So this revival that we seek during the 40 days of prayer, particularly today and this week, this is a revival of and an expansion of our relationship with God, making it richer and wider and covering places we haven't been before with it. Prayer should be a habit, but it should never be a mindless routine. In this 40 days, when we will have teaching on prayer, and really helpful notes on prayer that you might pray throughout the week, it's a good time to consider your habits of prayer. I have a few suggestions. These are not very systematic. They overlap. They're things that have been meaningful or helpful to me. I'm sure if I wanted to preach a two-hour sermon, I could find another two-hour sermon, but let's just stick with this one, okay? Can I have my next slide? This one. Just some things you might want to try. Most of us have heard of it's kind of a formula for prayer. Well, there's not too much wrong with the formula. It's good for an unmathematician after all, I have to say that. ACTS, meaning adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Now, the useful thing about that four legs of that table is it leads you into a good variety of places of prayer. It's really easy to skip over a lot of this and get to praying for the things we need or we want or the people we're concerned about. That's what we call supplication, asking things, begging and pleading that God will act on our behalf. Skipping over adoration, skipping over confession and thanksgiving. I'm not saying every time you pray you have to go through it all, but in a day, it's good if you have a time of each of those four legs. So look at your prayer life and say, which of those four legs am I neglecting? If any, could be that you're neglecting none, in which case, praise God, go forth and prosper. But you might find that you're neglecting a sheer time of just acknowledging to God who he is, the great things that he does for mankind and for you personally. And you will find that that adds a richness to your prayer life. When I'm going good with this formula, I don't use this formula every time I pray, but if I'm going to have a fairly long time of prayer, then I try to use this. As a matter of fact, when I work on a worship service and lay out the prayers, it's often true that each of these prayers occurs sometime in the worship service. Like usually in the call to worship, that the choir says after the opening praise songs, that's usually a pretty good adoration of God, welcoming us into his presence. And then sometimes your prayers are thanksgiving and confession. Another thing you can pray, by the way, as I go through these things, some of these things, when we come to prayer after the sermon, we're going to do a little kind of a different prayer than we usually do, and it will be divided into parts that will reflect some of the things we're talking about here. So this will give you time to practice some of this and see if any of it appeals to you. And by the way, another reason for doing it, like, what's the single thing that gets in the way of your prayer life the most? Anybody want to admit what gets in the way of their prayer life?
Noise isn't good.
Charles Stanley, who offered the quote at the top of the program today, says that one of the bad things is busyness. Okay? Anybody agree with that? Busyness gets in the way of a number of good things. I mean, things that you think you have to do. So what one of my friends calls the tyranny of the urgent. You know, well, I have to do that. I can't go pray because I've got to, you know, mow the lawn. I've got to clean the bathroom or whatever. Okay? So since you've dedicated the next 15 or 20 minutes to being in church, we're going to remove that press of busyness and give you some time for a good long prayer with all of your friends here, okay? So that's what we'll do. Another thing that you can pray about is to get hold of what I call the gold page in the bulletin. That's the page of prayer requests that's in there every week. Thank you, Emily. And just to kind of pray through that and ask God to bring his attention to those matters. He knows all about them. It doesn't matter if you don't. It doesn't matter if it's not clear. But it gives you a chance to draw the fellowship with the people that you worship with. Sometimes, of course, these are friends of people we worship with. It allows you to get to know your fellows in church better. So it's a great thing to do. If you don't happen to have a yellow sheet, you can get the church directory and pray through the church directory. Okay? The third thing you can pray about is you can pray about yourself. A lot of us sometimes have kind of a, you know, false modesty or something. We think, well, I should pray for other people because, you know, other people are more important than myself. Well, that's fine. But you know what? You have needs too. You have wants and desires. You have problems. You have things in your life that God wants to touch for correction or enrichment. Okay, so pray for yourself. If you're leaving out praying for yourself, that's something you want to do here. Another thing you can use is traditional prayers. Now, I was raised in a church. Now, I was a child at the time, but I was raised in a church where we basically didn't pray in our own words. I'm talking about kids, okay? And it's probably, maybe that's a good idea. But, you know, we had set prayers that we said, or the minister prayed, and then we said amen, and so on, you know, or some adult prayed, but we basically didn't pray. And I left the church not long after I was a child, so I never really got into what I call an adult relationship with the church. Or when we said that, you know, at night I would say, now I'm going to be down to sleep. And then at the end I'd say, God bless mommy, God bless daddy, God bless, you know, so, I mean, those were my own words, okay? But I wasn't used to praying in my own words. And when I came to know the Lord and joined this church, I discovered a number of really shocking things about Christians. But one of the shocking things I discovered was that it was really fairly common for Christians to pray in their own words. And this was like, whoa, it was really uncomfortable for me to pray out loud into my own words, even in a tiny group. It was a little uncomfortable. I didn't know quite what to do when not a pastor or minister, but a lay person prayed in a group I was in. I sort of like, how come he or she gets to do that? You know, so I got over that after a while, as you probably have noticed, and became really, really happy and comfortable listening to other people pray and praying along with them in their words, kind of repeating their words after them to join them in prayer or praying in my own words. Many years after that, I rediscovered the joy of praying in somebody else's words, especially a traditional, very, you know, called polished prayer. And I guess I came to this because praying the Lord's Prayer in church, especially when it's through a Sunday school lesson on the Lord's Prayer, which made the Lord's Prayer very, very real and personal and fresh to me, more than it had been. But I started to learn that there was much value to be gained from reading some of the praying some of the traditional prayers from the church. And I have one today that we're going to use. And when we start the prayer time is going to be in three parts. And the first part is going to be kind of an adoration part. And I'm going to start with this traditional prayer. It's on the next slide. It says, "We thank you, Lord God, for all the benefits you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Christ. Our most merciful receive we dear friend and brother, and for all the pains and insults he has borne for us. We pray we may see Christ more clearly, love him more dearly, and follow him more nearly, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Now, if you recognize the little last part of that prayer, we pray that we may see Christ more clearly, love him more dearly, and follow him more nearly. I first read into that it's one of the songs in the musical Gospel. And for many years, I thought that that's what it was. Okay, it was just a song from Gospel, but it's not. It turns out it's from this prayer. It's a 13th century prayer, so it's been updated, so it's contemporary language. But it's a very lovely prayer. And the part that Gospel picks up on, we pray that we may see Christ more clearly, love him more dearly, and follow him more nearly day by day as God's will continues. It might be that, you know, if you want to pray one prayer for yourself in a day, that might be not a bad one. That you see Christ more clearly, love him more dearly, follow him more nearly. It doesn't specify where you are or where you have to go. But it specifies three aspects of your relationship with Christ, that as far as we may have come in our relationship with Christ, in all three of those things, we know we have trouble. So I like this traditional prayer. And that's a good example of what you can get when you seek out traditional prayers. And by the way, don't neglect children's prayers. You know that aforementioned, now I lay me down to sleep, pray Lord my soul to keep. In Girl Scout camp, we used to sing a third verse, but the second verse is, if I die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take. In Girl Scout camp, we sang a third verse. Does anybody know a third verse in that? Ah, third verse is the Girl Scout camp third verse. If I live another day, pray the Lord to guide my way. That's another one. Little nice one. Now, prayers don't have to be complicated, and they don't have to use a lot of words. So if you have children and or grandchildren, you're praying with those children, adopt, take those prayers into your own. They're simple, they're beautiful, and they often, you know, get right to the crux of the issue. So children's prayers, great. Let's see. Okay, and then the next thing you can try is you can try praying scripture. And I've got a couple of examples of that we're going to use in the prayer today. Next slide. Okay, here's one. Isaiah 64:4 that has been on my mind for a couple of months now. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. When we pray today for our supplications, our needs, and people that we would like to have help, I'm going to leave that part of the prayer with this verse, because it's the assurance verse that our prayers are effective because God hears them. God has established the prayer environment, the prayer world, so that he is there to hear those prayers. If it were not that, if he were not there, then our prayers would be empty, bad, correct? But God is there, which makes our prayers powerful. It's not the prayer that's powerful, it's the prayee that's powerful. Another example of praying scripture is from Luke 18. The tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God have mercy on me, a sinner. The last sentence of that verse has been used in the church as a prayer for a long, long time. It is still frequently used in both the Catholic and the Eastern churches. You may have heard it, and I don't know if you go back far enough, having attended a Catholic church when you were 20 or 30, before they did away with Latin, you know, you may have heard the Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy. Kyrie is the Latin word for Lord, award in that case. We'll use this verse at the last part of the prayer today when we have a time of silent confession to lead into communion. Whenever we pray something like that, God have mercy on me, a sinner. Now, we stand as Christians, we stand in the place of finished and fulfilled mercy. So when we pray a prayer like this, in fact, anytime we pray a promise of God, please don't think that you're praying for God to keep his promise. You know, oh God, please keep your promise, as if he might not. Okay? Not going to happen. When you pray God's promise, you're praying that he has made his promise, he has kept his promise, is keeping his promise, and will keep his promise. So when we pray, Lord, have mercy on me, we are not praying as if we have no sins that he has not forgiven. Okay? We're celebrating the fact that he has forgiven our sins. This is something that is prime in our minds as we come to communion, is it not? We're coming to communion and we come as confessed and forgiven sinners before the Almighty God of the universe who desires to have fellowship with us and who will forgive our sins. So today, as we think about prayer, let's see, is there one more slide? I'm ready to go back to time. Oh, yes. And then, if you haven't done so, please join us for group prayers Thursday evening, 7:30. Okay? And this is a chance you can work on praying out loud and praying with your fellows. We share our needs, and Loretta often leads you. Loretta always leads, often brings us special needs. Lately, they have been focused on missions around the world. So Loretta often brings us some needs to raise up together. So this is a great time to be in prayer with the fellowship of believers. And we have a few people from the community who come in occasionally. That's our interesting. You know, we have it on the outside bulletin board. So just on this list, there's a few things you can try. No assigned homework here. These things are for your joy in prayer, delight. We don't want our habits to become dry routine. Good habits as they might be. Okay, but something new is often something that can be very refreshing and can, the Lord can use to draw you further in. So that's kind of a short sermon. I'm not quite sure there's one or two words, okay, but pretty short. So what I'd like to do is to move into a time of prayer. Again, we're going to have three parts here. The first part is going to be kind of an adoration part, starting out with that. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to ask if you have things you want to add that you pray out loud. We usually collect prayer requests, and you know, then the leader kind of repeats them. There's a number of reasons why we do it that way, but today, and it's kind of nice that we're kind of small today, because it makes it kind of a little more personal. But today I'd like to help people pray their own prayers. And if you have, some people have languages that are English, if you want to pray the language other than English, feel free to pray in your heart language, the thing that means the most to you. It is not important that we understand it. It is important that God understands you, and we know he will, so that's not a problem. Okay, so that's the first part. The second part will be our prayers and supplications for people, things that you need or that you know people are concerned about. That's our second part. And our third part will be, and again, I'll ask you to pray out loud. The third part will be a time of silent confession. We'll confess to our Lord, okay, quiet, silently. Is that okay? All right, so we have time for this today. Does everybody feel relaxed? Is anybody worried about what's going to happen? You don't have to do anything. You don't have to say anything. This is, you just need to stand in the presence of God, who is there ready to hear you. Okay? So let's start. I will pray some of the things off. Oh, no, I'm here. Does anybody have the 40-day prayer guide with them? From that first day there, some of you pick some of those things and pray them at the appropriate time. Okay, after that, you can do it in the left hand, right? our most merciful Redeemer, friend, and brother, and for all the pains and insults he has borne for us. We pray that we may see Christ more clearly, love him more dearly, follow him more nearly, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. I invite you to pray. Move on to express to you, to turn over to you our prayers and petitions for ourselves and for those that we know who have needs and concerns. We know that since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. Lord, hear our prayers and petitions.
Let us keep in a period of prayer right now and remember from 1 John 1, 8 through 9. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us of our sins,